there, folks. I'm Emily.
And I'm Hilt.
And honestly, I haven't been able to focus on anything today because when Elt told me that she wanted to talk about this particular movie musical, I put it into our super secret device that calculates our ratings, and it was very close to breaking it, and so I had to do some recalibration. So that's sort of all I've been focusing on today, so we're just going to jump right into it. Today we're talking about Moulin Rouge, the film and the stage musical. If you haven't seen Moulin Rouge, basically a poet falls for a beautiful courtesan, which is a really fancy way of saying prostitute, and whom a jealous duke covets, and also it's a musical, so they're singing and dancing, and it's at the historic Moulin Rouge in France. You know, it's so, can we just sidetrack for a second? Because the idea that, like, a courtesan, it really is just a fancy prostitute, right? But you're calling it something nicer so it sounds a little bit better, like, oh, I'm a courtesan, but you're still selling yourself for sex. Anyway, just thought I'd remind people of that. It is a kind of a jukebox musical, but doesn't follow a particular artist. It takes songs from a variety of different artists. And then for the ratings, I got it. I got the device back down. It wasn't too bad. Okay, a violence 2. The language is a 2. And romance is a 3. So it's not actually as high as ratings for some of the other things we've reviewed, but there's just such an air of inappropriateness around it that it's just a lot of pearls to clutch.
We also haven't put in a rating yet for costumes, which kind of you kind of need for musicals, but especially this one.
Yes.
Ratings for costumes would just be broken. The only way it'd be more broken is if they didn't wear costumes, which sometimes that happens.
Which is pretty close.
Yeah, which, you know, sometimes there's nudity. So here's the thing about this one. The film came out, I think in the early 2000s, I think it came out. And then just this past year, 2019, is when the musical made it onto Broadway. So it got nominated for, what were we saying, like 14? It basically got nominated for like all the Tonys. So we can't decide if that's just because COVID shut everything down or because people actually thought it was good, which that's the thing about going to a live event is that your judgment gets clouded. It does, because there's something about being part of there's the atmosphere, there's like the energy, a charged energy, there's a greater excitement and the audience and all that kind of stuff. And I'll give it, you know, I accept that. That's why people do want to go to live events, because it's part of you all going, it's part of the being there makes it better. And sometimes you don't, I don't call it like a haze, but it's almost like haze that like when you walk out, sometimes you rethink about like, wait, what was that story again? And sometimes you're just so caught up in the moment, you know, and the action and again, the excitement and all and the buzz of it that you don't really realize like, what did I just watch? So that's what we're here for. We're here to tell you what you just watched. And what you just watched was a bunch of nonsense, okay? Nonsense. I don't know what it is about, okay, when we know literature and music in general, especially musicals, there's an obsession with love stories. But this one, they make it seem like there's this epic love story that has to be told. It's like, you must tell our story, right? So you have Christian, who's the writer, kind of like, you know, scrappy kind of living, not living on the streets exactly, but kind of that kind of
starving
thing.
Artist.
His friends all drag him to the Moulin Rouge, where he sees Satine for the first time. And she's considered like the well, she's a prostitute, okay? We're just going to call her what she is. She's considered like the prostitute. Like, everyone wants it. Everyone wants her, right? And this whole thing with the duke comes in because they're trying to get funding. You know, they need funding because the place is about to close down, even though apparently it's always packed with people, so I don't know how that works. But anyways, he totally falls for her, right? And they try to smuggle him up to the room, and she thinks, oh, the duke is the one being smuggled up to the room, and he thinks, okay, I'm just going to go pitch her about, you know, whatever, and all of a sudden they magically fall so deeply in love with each other. It's such a beautiful love story. Like, why? Where is the, like, that's not an epic love story. Sorry. That's just, like, insta-love. And why should she's also in love with him. Like, she has people throwing herself at her all the time. Like, what makes him so special that all of a sudden there's this epic love story between them? And then part of this whole jukebox musical thing is because they don't write the music for it, right? And instead they're trying to find songs that might fit, So some of the songs in the film don't make it onto the stage, and some of the ones on the stage are a little bit different than the ones in the film. Because, you know, mm-hmm. you have to deal with rights and all that kind of stuff and whatever.
And they did seem to update some of the songs that are in the musical are newer songs that weren't around.
Yeah. Right, so that's true too. And it's even like, even not the acting, like, so you have Ewan McGregor and Nicole Kidman are the two in the film, and then you've got Aaron Tveit, I think his name is, and Karen Olivo is in are in the musical, and they both, the singing's great. I'll give it to them. The singing's good. The I Will Love You song, which everyone is so obsessed with, that does allow for some pretty good harmonies. And the way also, because it lets the singers really like unleash their voices. So I'm always kind of partial to songs that, you know, they're not trying to sing like so soft that sometimes it doesn't sound like they're really hitting the key sometimes. And this one, because they can sing it, I don't want to call it belting, but they kind of are belting, but it's not belting. But because they can unleash their voices, it sounds great. And you could get wrapped up in the musical like that. But what if it's nonsense? It's such nonsense. So there is so much pearl clutching going on here. Now, as far as the film goes, it felt like everyone, oh, Baz Luhrmann, da da da. It felt like there were two different directors for it. Because sometimes you had these great songs. I'm not saying great songs. You had this great singing or this great staging of something or the great like film shot. And then sometimes you had complete garbage. Like when they're trying to pitch the Duke, the thing, and they do spectacular, no words in the vernacular. And if you see the choreography for that, they look really silly. They look ridiculous. Versus like when you sing Dimes a Girl Best Friend, you're like, either the director is two person. It's like Jekyll and Hyde. Like either Jekyll and Hyde were directing this or this, like, it's just, it's so it's like very patchy like that. Also for the romance, we made it so high because first of all, because she's a prostitute. And also because like in the film, there's one scene, where the two of them are like wrapped up in this like blanket and they're both like kind of nude. No, they're not kind of nude. They are basically nude. And it's like,
they're nude. You just don't fully see it, but you know,
yeah, because it's a side angle and this, that. It's like, come on, like stop trying to sell us on this love story that isn't. Like, that's, again, it's not love. Love is something that has to be, like, it's tested and endures and all these things. It's not, I just don't understand why they get the epic love story. Like, why? Why is it so epic? Like, I just don't, oh, we're going to, like, stick it to the upper class. Like, well, I don't even know what they're doing. Like, I don't even know what the point of it is. Also, you have the prostitutes and you have things like, when they're coming out on stage for the opening song of the musical and they're basically in fishnet tights and their underwear. Like, it's like the One Piece underwear look. I don't even know like what you'd call it, but it's like kind of like what they do for Chicago.
Like a leotard?
Yeah, but it's lingerie. It's not like they do that also in Chicago for the that's the Cell Block Tango.
Mm-hmm.
Where they're not, the women are not dressed. So I don't know why women have to be singing in their underwear to make it, cause oh, the power of femininity. Like, no. Put your clothes back on. Like, I don't, that's the one thing. Okay, we didn't talk about Chicago yet, but maybe we'll get to Chicago. But anyway, so they do that here too. You don't see that necessarily as much in the film, but the musical has that. Like, these women are coming on stage and you're not dressed.
Right.
Again, this is why we're here, to give you reason and logic and sense beyond the haze of the live event. This is what we're here for. So that's that. And again, also, it's not even like the actors and whatever, everybody's, you could cast something so great, but it's not, like, is anybody paying attention? That's kind of things. And then, like, Nicole Kidman has some really weird moments where I guess she's trying to, like, turn them on, and she's doing some really weird stuff on the floor there. It's just, I don't know, that's my biggest thing. And the irony is, so, Emily, I think, doesn't really like any of the music, but it's not really, because it's not really traditional jazzy kind of music, because that's being the jukebox musical. And it is funny that there are certain songs, if you're a purist, you're not going to like what I say, but there are certain songs that actually sound better the way they remix them for the film and for the musical. Like The Show Must Go On, which I don't know if it actually is in the musical. Well, it's in the film. The Show Must Go On sounds great in the film, because that's also, they let the singers are belting it, and they're making it like a big build-up kind of number, versus the original version, was it Queen or whoever the original singers for that, see, they're, oh no, the purists are going to go crazy. But they're, it sounds, the original one is not like that. It doesn't have that big grand build. But again, just because something is a big grand build doesn't make it, like, what are you, whatever. Anyways, violence, huh?
I was just going to say that this show reminds me a lot of The Greatest Showman. And I have to admit, it's been a while since I saw Moulin Rouge, and I didn't, I just, it just wasn't my taste. So I saw it because everyone said, oh, you've got to see Baz Luhrmann. There's all these things and you love musicals, so you'll love it. And I didn't love it and I didn't even really like it. But there was, I mean, the costumes and the colors and the dance numbers, there was a lot about it that was spectacular. And I imagine on stage, it does seem like the type of show that is meant to be on stage even more so than film, because some of the dance numbers or some of the songs are sort of almost dream sequence like, which I don't think a show or a musical has to have the most interesting story, because I don't think people go to musicals for the story. I think they go for the song and dance. Right. And that's fine, because sometimes you just want a night of escapism, and I don't think there's anything wrong with that. But when the story is, I just, can I talk about prostitutes for just like a quick second? I know you probably didn't come to Oh My Word and expect to hear prostitutes because we're focused on clean things. But here's the thing. Clutch your pearls, folks. I used to be torn on prostitution because I thought, I don't think it's morally a good way for a woman to act. But if she's comfortable with it, if she's an adult and the other man is comfortable with it, it's immoral, but shouldn't necessarily be illegal. But I've thought a lot more about it and read and learned a lot more, and how it's not empowering to women. It's degrading to women. It's not healthy. It's doesn't make it safe just because it's legal. And making a prostitute the main character normalizes prostitution and how, oh, it, like, pretty woman, like, oh, it's just someone. And yes, it is someone who needs to be saved, but we shouldn't glamorize it. That's not a glamorous life. That's an awful life for a woman to have to live. And I think that's the issue. Like, this show has so many spectacular, beautiful dance numbers and the costumes and the colors and the lights, whatever. But that's a real struggle for a woman.
Yeah.
Sorry.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, but that's a very good point. Especially because a very libertarian view would be like, well, their body, their choice. But it is true that we don't have to glamorize it. And we don't, why does she become like the hero of the love story also? And also, so violence also becomes a, she's dying of like consumption also, which apparently consumption is the old term for tuberculosis, which who knew that? But, and then there's a gunshot, there's the gun that goes off. But also at the end, like, the Duke is really jealous of the relationship and they have their secret love song and this and that. And he wants to shoot her. No, she wants to shoot him. See, I don't even know. It's just, and then also they're singing like La Vie Bohème as if they're doing some sort of like art revolution is going on. Like, no. It's just, again, it's just, don't get caught up. This is what Oh My Word is here for. Don't get caught up in the lights, in the colored lights. There you go. There's a greatest show in reference. Don't get caught up in the colored lights and the spectacle. And just because you go and it's fun. And I know, yeah, people want to go. We don't always want to go to see Dear Evan Hansen. Or actually, we don't always want to go to see Next to Normal, because that's Aaron Tveit who's in this. He did Next to Normal, which is, they're heavy emotional stories. And they don't have the big dance numbers because they're very small casts. But at least ask for some quality. I mean, like, you could still have some quality. You don't have to. What is this?
This probably would have been so much better as a, like, as a ballet. You know, like, where it doesn't really need a story. Because it is. It's mostly about the dancing and the music.
Well, you have, yeah. And look, also, like, the Tango Roxanne. Roxanne is also the remake. The way they remix it for this is great. But you're also like, what are you? He's like busy telling her you don't have to be a prostitute in the Roxanne song, which I don't know why he can magically start singing Roxanne, because that's not her name. So that's like another example of like a jukebox musical where they're taking a song that doesn't really fit, but kind of fit. So like, who's Roxanne? It's supposed to be like, no, metaphor. Like, why? Everyone knows who he's singing to. But so the song works. You're saying like, oh, you don't have to be a prostitute anymore as she's going to sell herself to the Duke to get funding for the show. But like, she is a prostitute. Like, who are you kidding yourself about who you quote unquote like fell in love with? Cause you apparently just looked at her and your love is much deeper than anybody else who looked at her and magically fell in love with her. Like, why are you kidding yourself about what it is? And it's not even about like, oh, I'm going to save you from prostitution.
Yeah.
I mean, the film that kind of felt like, oh, I want to be a real actress or whatever. Like, it's not even like, oh, we're going to save you from this. Oh, look, let's go run away to, you know, and I'll save. But it's just La Vie Bohème or whatever. It's like, come on. Whatever. It's nonsense. I can't even believe we spoke even so long about what nonsense this all is. It just, come on. Guys, cut through the haze. That's what we're trying to tell you. cut through the haze and remember, even if you want to just be, here we are now, entertain us, quote, there you go. Another, that's, you know, one of the songs, just because you want to be entertained doesn't mean you shouldn't be asking for quality. It doesn't mean that you shouldn't be putting like substance in your brains. We know you don't, you know, we don't always want to go and be crying at stuff. That's fine. We don't always want to have the heavy emotional stuff. That's fine. But we do have to have, ask for some quality. Come on. Come on. Come on, people. That's all. That's my rant for today.
All right. Thanks for listening. See you guys later.
All right. Thanks for listening. Catch you next time.
Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode of Oh My Word. We hope you enjoyed it. If you did, make sure to subscribe and write a review. And please share the show with your friends. If you didn't like it, you can share the show with your enemies. Please also follow us on Instagram at Oh My Word Podcast. There we post episode updates, our ratings for each book, and also our personal reading recommendations. Music for the show is by Tim Burke. Editor is Gabriel Yaffe. We'll see you next week.